The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries. From Barangaroo Studios, here's what you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Welcome to the COB. I'm Juliet Sarli. It is the end of the trading day on this Wednesday, on a day when we woke up and thought, okay, Jay Powell, he's done it. He's pivoted again, perhaps, because he's poured cold water on any imminent rate cuts, getting a little bit of whiplash, bond traders in particular, about how we're starting to position here, particularly when you saw the two-year hit that 5% level, lifting 5 points to 4.99 on the close in the 10-year. Hitting its highest level since November. So, of course, the pivot focus once again in play. But look, we started on a negative note. Then we saw a little bit of buying coming through in the mid-session, I would say. And we've closed pretty flat. I'm looking at the ASX 200, just trying to get you an updated figure on my screen. Up just 1 point, actually, 7,613. We've still got the match off, of course, to go. But certainly a lot better than where we were 24 hours ago when there was that big rout. Every sector, of course, in the red. So a little bit of a stalling in this rout. And actually, utilities looking really, really good today. Up 2.8%. IT stocks also looking good. It is the energy, material and healthcare stocks that dragged us lower today. But other than that, eight sectors were higher. So certainly a little bit of positive momentum coming through in the latter part of the day's trade. Tackling inflation, as we know, remains key for central bankers. Has New Zealand got their cost pressures under control? Well, we certainly saw annual inflation at its lowest level in nearly 3 years, coming in at 4%. Still too high though. The RBNZ really likes it between 2 to 3% like the RBA does. Now, interestingly, it's kind of a similar, probably not interestingly actually, it is a similar story to everywhere across the world. You've got these rising rents, you've got higher food prices, you've got energy costs all contributing to these price pressures. The RBNZ though, not expected to cut rates really until February 2025, according to the latest money market pricing. And of course, as I mentioned, the Fed dashing overnight that they are going to cut any time soon. So many people have had some interesting things to say about Jay Powell. Does he have mud on his face? I think Scuddy was telling me he had to turn the lights off and leave the party. Anyway, let's have a look at the party in the utility space today, because as I mentioned, that was a very strong performing sector. Not really reflected with those stocks that we're watching there. So I'll try and give you a better read on that, because I noted that I think AGL was up something incredible. Yeah, up 6.3%. You've also got the likes of Origin up 2.5%. Anyway, let's flip the board and have a look at what we're seeing in some of the tech players. A bit mixed there. Zero up, as is NextDC. WiseTech Global down by about 0.2%. Life360, Megaport looking okay as well. To the energy space, and I'm going to ask Hien to flip that page and get to the big guns like Santos and Woodside. Look how fast he is. Santos off by 0.8%, Woodside down 1.5%. You did see oil prices ease slightly in the offshore session on these economic headwinds, kind of offsetting support provided by America's announcements of plans to hit Iran with new sanctions. And that, of course, follows the attack on Israel on the weekend. All right, let's get to some of the top corporate stories. Rio Tinto in focus. It saw a drop in iron ore production and shipments in the first quarter. Bank of Queensland, though, it was higher than that. And I think we might have a bit of an error on that. So we're going to pull that down. And you know what? I'm going to go old school, go to my IRIS, going back to my, you know, days of being on the trading floor. Let's see how good I am at remembering all the codes. So Bank of Queensland, nothing like live TV. Up 5%, $6.10. Cash earnings fell by less than expected. Renascor Resources is going to test my memory because I don't know that code, but it was a big mover today after re-emerging from a trading halt. We also had DroneShield winning a NATO contract, and we're going to be speaking about that in a moment with Mark Gardner from MPC and some of the other defense stocks. And of course, Linus was a big mover today. Gina Rinehart bringing up a sizable stake in the company, which was disclosed after yesterday's trade. And then there's this thought that maybe she's after a piece of the company in Las Vegas MP Materials, which is the largest rare earths producer outside of China. A lot of speculation there that we could be seeing a merger, and I am going to get you Linus's price because I know how to spell that and how to find it. LYC for those playing at home, up 6%, $6.47. All right, fun times flying solo. Let's get Mark Gardner to save me from myself from MPC Markets. Hi there.
Good afternoon. Bit of a struggle there.
Yes. Oh, fun times when the graphics don't work. All right, let's talk about some of these defence players because the Defence Minister, Richard Marles, talking about obviously a lot more, I guess, scope here, and we had the Drone Shield news as well.
Yeah, Drone Shield was really, it's no particular contracts, but they're obviously now set up to accept NATO contracts. We saw EOS, Electro-Optic Systems as well, have a fairly good day, up 6%. But Drone Shield, that's been brewing for a while. It had a government grant probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, around about $1 million. And they're rolling into profitability, so it's probably a little bit overstretched at the moment. It was up around about 17% today. But look, that's one company that I think going forward, we saw obviously in Israel over the weekend, the Iron Dome basically take out all seven missiles out of 350, I think, got through. So, and I think a lot of those were drone based as well. So, and EOS has obviously got some contracts rolling through as well. So, yeah. Defence, obviously, the Defence Minister's justification was more about the ramping up of defence spending from China, and our patch of the world in throughout Asia, and tensions rising there. So, I mean, that's obviously excluding what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in the Middle East at the moment. So, they're two fairly decent companies at the moment with some fairly good prospects. EOS had a cap raise around the 170 mark recently. It's sort of starting to chew through that volume, but you would expect now it's paid down some debt that will start to head up.
Yeah, I'm just looking. So $1.69 is where it trades at the moment, up about 187% year to date. Mm. This is really, really interesting when we're looking at some of these small caps and one of these stocks that people are saying, we know about Drone Shield. Look more closely here.
Yeah, look, it's, with all the tensions going on at the moment, they're effectively technology firms. Mm. With defence spending just increasing, both from China, the US and Europe, and obviously the Middle East, they're fairly decent areas where you can sort of take a little bit of risk off while still getting involved in a stock that's got quite a lot of growth. So it's a bit more of a passive play, I guess, which eliminates a lot of the geopolitical risk, because I think you'll actually find it, more often than not on Monday, Drone Shield actually rallied when the market was heavily down. So and pretty similar thing for EOS. Austal also had a bid recently, the shipbuilder, from an offshore firm. I doubt that they would be allowing that to go through just from a political standpoint. But there's certainly a lot of interest in and around that sector because it's quite defensive, excuse the pun. But with markets at record highs, if you can find defensive growth, it suits the portfolios pretty well.
Speaking of markets where they are, I mean, yesterday there was that rout. Is this sort of sell in May and go away theory come and gone maybe?
I don't think so. I think it's a huge test in those US 2 years at the moment. Mm. It's knocked on the door here at five a couple of nights in a row. Any significant breach of that, I think we'd start to see those high PE stocks, particularly in the US, start to come back down again. There's the initial pattern for US earnings so far has been beat expectations and get flogged, really. Like, you've seen the likes of JP Morgan actually beat expectations, fell 6%. I think Bank of America did something similar, not quite as far to the downside, it was down a couple of a percent, but everything seems to be beating expectations. So the analysts have gone a little bit light, but it's not obviously beating them in the market's expectations. So we've got Netflix tomorrow night. That'll be one of the first big big tech stocks. A few more of those healthcare stocks may sort of prop up the Dow over the next couple of days. They had a Medicaid ruling in the States about a month ago, which really hit those big healthcare stocks in the States, which really wouldn't have filtered through to their earnings so far. So I'd probably see a little bit of upside in those healthcare stocks in the US. but that may be a bit of a false dawn, I think, for earnings, because we, you know, we've had some really strong numbers in the US, but it's pretty priced to perfection over there. We've had a 40% rally just about for the NASDAQ since November. There's plenty of room to the downside at the moment. So I think caution's still pretty warranted, particularly if those yields head higher. And I think Jay Powell's bang on the money, really. I'm surprised they haven't said it earlier, but I mean, they've added nearly 1.2 million jobs in the last 3 months. Mm. It's the highest 3-month average in 2 years. Unemployment rate's still at 3.8, inflation's still quite high, commodities rising, which is probably going to flow through into some more inflationary pressures as well from the producer side. So I certainly think these rate cuts, you know, I dare say that there is a very, very tiny chance that, you know, the next move may actually be higher. So I've been too scared to say that out loud for about the last month, but all the economic numbers are so good as it stands that I think if you go back to your standard economics book, there's no way that anyone would be mentioning rate cuts with the numbers we're pulling at the moment.
Yeah, you're the second person in 2 days that said that to me now. The band is growing. You know, is Jay Powell's credibility on the line in the sense that, you know, we had the transitory debacle and now this, or is he doing what he always said he was going to do, and that is to be data dependent and patient?
He has been a little bit all over the shop, I must say. I think if you're going to look at the Fed, you want to look at the broader message from the Fed. It's quite easy to bring up on Google a hawk dove scale for most of the members, and if anyone says anything outside of what their normal scope is, they're usually what the market pays attention to. So if you've got someone who's regularly hawkish and says something hawkish, you know, the market will generally dismiss it. But Powell's been very up and down. It's he probably, before those employment numbers and the inflation numbers came through in the last week or so, he was actually talking about cuts again. So yeah, I think sometimes they probably talk a little bit too much. Mm. Just ask our previous Reserve Bank governor.
Yes.
I don't think they bow to political pressure as badly over there. But look, if Trump gets in, I think Jerome Powell's tenure's done anyway. So I think he's coming towards the end. I'm not entirely sure he particularly cares. But there's 30 odd central bank speeches this week. So from Bank of England to ECB to the US. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of noise, and we've obviously got earnings and things as well. So it's going to be a complicated week. May is the weakest month for the ASX from a seasonality point of view, and May, June are around about a 50-50 chance of either being up or down realistically, which is the lowest chance of a rise. Selling May for Australia is probably, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to do. It's slightly different seasonality in the US. It's not quite as bad in May, but more so September is the weaker month.
August, when they all just don't come back to the office.
Well, that's right. We're in for thinner trading conditions as they come into summer over there. So.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you more about our economy too. I mean, you mentioned there what the RBA, or their meeting in May, I should say. Employment data tomorrow, a few more kinks perhaps in our economy too.
Yeah, look, we would probably, they've been relatively strong numbers realistically. The ABS is probably a little bit underfunded. They tend to be a lot more volatile than they used to be. The sample size has shrunk quite a bit, but a strong number is not going to make things easy, because obviously we have the interest rate effect being a lot higher here with mortgage rates. I read an interesting fact the other day. Within the US, the average mortgage rate's still 2% below what the cash rate is. So no one, it just means no one's moving because they don't want to refinance at the higher rates. So the effect here is much stronger, which puts the Aussie in a really bad place. And we've seen a fair bit of weakness in the Aussie recently as well. So that could be good for our exporters. Sometimes Australia, with that weaker Aussie dollar, can benefit, and it kind of saves us a little bit. But as far as the employment goes tomorrow, I think, you know, on expectation is probably, you know, the best thing for the Aussie market. I don't think we want anything too out of control or too strong.
All right, Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Mark Gardner, MPC Markets, dissecting everything with us. And of course, some of those picks, Drone Shield and EOS. Let's get to the stock of the day. It was, of course, Lynas Rare Earths. Andrew Violent from DP Wealth Advisory and Henry Jennings from Marcus Today joined Andrew.
The continue to see the rare earths prices increase, then this one should go higher. It's probably got it probably top out around $7, but may need a bit of a consolidation in the meantime. So for me, it's a hold, especially with what's going on with a potential merger with this US company. And Gina's presence there adds to the frissons in this one as well. So lots to like, especially if we see rare earth prices going higher.
I like it. I think it's a buy. It's just what's the timing? And again, coming back to, you know, how we started the session with, you've got all this geopolitical uncertainty. If it was, you know, a bad couple of days and it was to settle back into the high fives, I would be super interested. But look, I'm prepared to say it's a buy now. Consensus is $7.20. You're getting them for, what, $6.30-odd. You know, that's not a bad margin of safety. So I think it's a buy.
Let's have a look at the market leaders on a day when we really struggled to try and make it a positive finish. Evolution Mining, of course, we've been talking about their quarterly update and not being, of course, hurt by the fact that gold is at or near these records, up 7.5%. I mentioned the really strong rise in the utility space, and AGL certainly leading the way there. Linus, we've touched on quite a bit, up 6% there. Bank of Queensland also with its quarterly update, and De Grey Mining too, up 4.6%. In terms of the losers today, we saw Boral down by almost 5%, some weakness in lithium uranium players as well, and James Hardie down 2.3%. Let's get to the smaller end of town for some winners and losers there. Renascor Resources, we did touch on. There you go, up 28%, 11 cents. Nexscience, Santana Minerals, Tower, Betmakers Tech, all there too. And to the downside, Austra Metals, Bougainville Copper, American Rare Earths, Experience Co. and AR and Media, a bit of something for everyone in the losers there. Okay, let's get to what we are expecting overnight. We've got UK CPI and European CPI as well. The Beige Book being released, always a really good indicator as well, although as Mark Gardner says, we've heard so much from the Fed speakers of late. US earnings, there we go, testing me with those codes, but I think we've got Alcoa, Abbott Laboratories, Las Vegas Sands and Travelers all coming through with their numbers. Let's have a look as well in terms of what we are going to see tomorrow, the NAB Business Confidence Survey, but also the key jobs report coming through for last month. Quarterly reports as well from the likes of AMP, BHP, Challenger, Endeavour, Growthpoint Properties, Santos, Transurban Group, and the Reject Shop, trading XDiv. All right, let's have a look at where we are finished on the market today. I think we just tried to eke out a gain, but didn't quite make it on the SIBO 200, down by 1 point. Let me see if the ASX 200 made it. I think it was up just 1 point, but I want to refresh because I don't want to give you incorrect information. No, it closed down by 7 points, 7,605. So that trying or attempt to rally towards the close, not quite making it. Boral and Boss, the worst performers, and the index down 3% over the last 5 days, but of course, virtually unchanged over the past year. All right, that does it for this Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow. Of course, the jobs print very key, and we'll continue to keep you updated on that US earnings season as well. We'll see you from 9:40 Eastern.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.